We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock as Kate Scott, Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonte Hill will take over the airwaves. The NBA is heating up. We got trades aplenty. The Suns, the Blazers, the Bucks making moves. We got a lot to talk about today from the NBA as well as what's going on within the NFL right now, because Andy Reid and John Gruden, both veteran head coaches who don't really have time for too much controversy. Well, heading into Sunday night's game between the Raiders and the Chiefs, there's something involving a victory lap that I want to talk about coming up at 5:15. I want you to hear the audio from both head coaches after they were asked about it yesterday. Apparently, the Raiders taking a victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium after they beat the Chiefs earlier on in the season. So we'll get to that sound, and we'll get to all these trades coming up here in the first segment. But this is something that made me happy yesterday. And by the way, 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Autobody text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in on anything today. If you saw any of the trades that happened, we'd love to get any of your thoughts. But there was something that made me happy yesterday, and it was involving a football club from Wales, a Welsh football club called Wrexham FC. Now, if you know me, and I don't really talk about them too much on this show because no one really cares, but I'm a Chelsea fan, pretty big one, a big Premier League fan as well. And I haven't heard of this team, Wrexham FC, before until it was in the news last week that Ryan Reynolds of Deadpool, and even though he doesn't like to mention it, Green Lantern fame. I mean, what else do we go with? Van Wilder? I don't know. There's other Ryan Reynolds movies, too. But Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, or Mac, you may know him from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they both became owners of Wrexham FC, a fifth-tier football club. And yesterday, it was made official. And the way that it was made official is because there was a video posted on their Twitter, and I want to play the sound for you. If you like Mac from Always Sunny, and if you like Ryan Reynolds, this is something that I think can make your morning. This is Mac and Ryan Reynolds in their introductory video as they own Wrexham FC Football Club in Wales.
Not sure what to get you a special someone this holiday.
Tired of them opening the same old scarf or sweater? Try
Ivor Williams.
Trailers.
Ivor Williams Trailers has been Britain's leading trailer manufacturer for over 60 years.
Nothing says I'm thinking about you and your horse like Ivor Williams Trailer. Tilt bed, beaver tail, tipper, horse box, livestock, you name it.
So, if you're looking to really wow them this year,
and you own livestock, visit Ivor Williams. Why are Rob and I pitching a Northwalian trailer manufacturer?
Well, because we just became owners of Wrexham Association Football Club, and they're our team sponsor. You may have never heard of Wrexham, the racecourse ground, or Ivor Williams, but you will. So to the Wrexham Supporters Trust, thank you for your faith and trust in us. We are humbled, and we're already getting to work. This is really happening.
Here they come, a mighty champion.
Yeah.
Raise your voices to the anthem. Marching by a mighty army. Wrexham is the name.
Look, I don't know about you, but when I saw that video yesterday, and you should check it out on Twitter if you haven't already, the video might not do, or the audio might not do it justice, but Wrexham was formed in 1864, and they are the oldest football club in Wales and the third oldest professional team in the world. And I don't know how Mac from Always Sunny and Ryan Reynolds managed to find this team. I don't know where they heard about it, but those guys, they make a lot of money doing what they do. And they obviously found an investment opportunity and decided to own Wrexham FC. So Wrexham FC, officially my second favorite football club in the world, second to Chelsea. I'm loving it. Shout out to Mac and Ryan Reynolds for becoming owners of this football team that no one heard of until now. That really needs the respect. If you are talking about organizations that deserve the respect of the young people, this is one of them. Formed in 1864, the oldest football club in Wales. How about that? All right, that's enough Wrexham FC talk, but shout out to Mac and Ryan Reynolds. I just had to play that sound. Yep. All right. Now to what was happening in the NBA yesterday. So the earliest news that we had, the big trade that was made, the first big one, was what happened with the Phoenix Suns. The Suns, they acquired Chris Paul and Abdul Nader in exchange for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, and Jalen Lecque, who I actually think could be pretty good, and some picks as well. So Chris Paul going to the Suns, and just some quick thoughts on it, because I know it's a little dated, because it happened around, you know, between 10 and 11 yesterday morning. But I do just want to say, I think that Chris Paul going to that team, I think the Suns are going to be quite the contender over there in the Western Conference. I think that overall, what Chris Paul had in OKC, instead, he's just getting an upgraded version of that when he goes over to Phoenix. And the upgraded version, I focus on two players, shooting guard Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton at center. And I just think that those two guys, even though I really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and I do like Steven Adams as well, those two guys are an upgrade, because Devin Booker, after all, is a superstar guard who has needed to get a team around him. DeAndre Ayton, a young, up-and-coming center. Steven Adams, even though he's great, he's an older veteran, and I think that with Chris Paul on that team, I think that could do wonders. Ricky Rubio was actually not too bad for them as sort of that veteran presence that could facilitate the offense, but Chris Paul going to that team, ultimately, I think that that's an upgrade for the Phoenix Suns. The Blazers, they're making moves right now. The Rockets are finalizing a trade to send Robert Covington to Portland for Trevor Ariza, a 2020 first round pick, and a 2021 protected first round pick, sources told Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, Robert Covington just going to Portland for a couple of future picks and Trevor Ariza, not having to get rid of really anyone of substance, I think that that's a really good trade for the Blazers. I like Robert Covington. I think, you know, he can score when he needs to, but most importantly, he plays defense, which is something that the Blazers really do need. But here's the big one that happened yesterday. And I think now, if for whatever reason the Giannis Antetokounmpo to the Warriors thing was still in your head, you felt like it was still a possibility, which, you know,
even after the bubble, after they were done versus the after the Bucks were done versus the Heat, and then the talk started ramping up, even then you're thinking, okay, I mean, if they do trade for him, you're probably going to have to give up Klay Thompson, which you wouldn't want to do. Draymond and Andrew Wiggins were constantly thrown into that conversation, but that's not feasible, right? I mean, you'd have to probably put a guy of Klay Thompson's caliber in that trade if you wanted to acquire Giannis at all. But the Milwaukee Bucks are doing everything in their power to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee when that Supermax is available, and so they could sign him to that Supermax. They acquired Drew Holiday from the Pelicans, and the Pelicans receive George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, three first-round picks, and quote-unquote, a couple of pick swaps. That's all I'm seeing as far as the details. A couple of pick swaps. Can I be a little more specific? Just a couple of pick swaps is all I saw. But Drew Holiday, known as one of, if not the best defending guard in the NBA, and the Pelicans are trying to build a team for Zion Williamson through the draft using assets, and who knows, maybe even using those picks to trade for another player to possibly come to New Orleans in the future. But again, they acquired the Bucks acquired Drew Holiday from the Pelicans, and the Pelicans get George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, three first-round picks, and a couple of pick swaps. And a little later on, the subsequent move that not a lot of people are talking about, the Bucks also acquired Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Sacramento Kings via a sign and trade. And the Kings in that deal acquired Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Ilyasova. So, in that move, you're going to have Drew Holiday, you're going to have Chris Middleton, you're going to have Giannis as your star. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic, I always get him mixed with Bojan. Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to provide some scoring for you as a guard. So I think that what the Bucks are doing right now, and this is just my personal opinion on Giannis. I think Giannis is just a generational talent. And if you are a team and you have a guy like that, a guy who is threatening to possibly leave, a guy who you feel like you can build a team around and contend for a championship, I do think that this move for the Bucks is the right move because of that player that it's centered around. Because if they do manage to sign Giannis to a Supermax and he accepts it, then this move will all be worth it. Plus, you got Drew Holiday playing alongside him, and he does need a better point guard surrounding him. So I do think that this is a good move for the Bucks, just as good of a move for the Pelicans. I think that's going to make the Pelicans a force to be reckoned with in the future once they do acquire some pieces. Because the New Orleans Pelicans aren't done. This isn't the last we'll see of them. I can guarantee it. It's not just going to be a ton of draft picks. But there is one more piece of news. This is something that's pretty interesting. So it looks like James Harden to the Nets is becoming like more and more of a possibility. Yesterday, he posted a Instagram story of him. It was of a water bottle. This is the most NBA thing ever. NBA is king when it comes to social media and their use of social media, because they let the players express themselves. I mean, it really started, you know, with the DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin thing with the chair against the door, posting a picture on Twitter and all of that when you know, they were threatening to trade, blah, blah, blah. But in this scenario, James Harden posted an Instagram story of him unscrewing a water bottle cap off of a water bottle and putting the cap on the table. What does that mean? Does that mean no cap? What does that mean? It looks like he's putting his focus on the Nets because the Rockets want to extend him to make him possibly a $50 million player a year, $15 million a year player, except he doesn't want to. He's putting his focus on the Nets, and they're going to try and make some sort of trade that's going to really, I don't know what kind of trade would need to happen for that. The players that they would have to acquire, the picks, it would be something that I don't think we would be able to see. However, I do think, though, that the Rockets, they look like they are just in total rebuild mode. And if you saw that report when Russell Westbrook was reportedly wanting out of Houston, the report suggested that none of those guys are really happy over there. Russell Westbrook isn't happy with the accountability of the team. P.J. Tucker and Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon doesn't really know his role there. P.J. Tucker doesn't feel like he's paid enough. There's just so much going wrong over there in Houston. And it looks like James Harden's the number one guy that they want to keep hold of and build around. But you only have so much time in your career. And if you have a chance to play with two guys who are clearly your friends, and I know that it would be a dumpster fire as far as the off-the-court stuff, because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant seem to be in their own heads and seem to be, it seems to be them versus everybody as far as NBA fans. But if you're James Harden and you're given the chance to go play with two of your friends, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving, one of the best ball handlers, I think, that the NBA has ever seen. And Kevin Durant, one of the best scorers that the NBA has ever seen. And you can get those three together. That's what you need to win a championship. Now, I don't know about the depth, because I think you'd have to give up quite a bit of depth if you are Brooklyn to acquire James Harden. But that's what's going on right now. He rejected the extension, and he's focusing on a trade to the Nets. The NBA, man. Everything. The NBA is just going nuts right now. I love it. We'll continue to update you with any breaking news, so keep it locked on 95.7 The Game all day. I can guarantee you that we will be up to date on everything surrounding the NBA. Now, we'll get back to this, but coming up next, I want to talk a little bit about John Gruden versus Andy Reid, because the Raiders and the Chiefs, they're playing on Sunday night, and the reporters for both teams tried to stir something up, and it didn't sound like the head coaches were really having it. I'll explain that next, and I'll play the sound for you. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. I mean, after thinking about it and really trying to understand what the Nets would have to give up, if I'm Houston, I'm okay with Harden wanting to request a trade for the Nets and wanting to get over to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie and KD. Are you kidding me? We're having a reset of the organization, you know? And if we're going to do this, we offered Harden the 2 years, $103 million. We offered him to stay. We said, hey, you are our guy. But if we are looking at one common denominator amongst the Houston Rockets for the past 10 years, however long it's been, there's one guy that we can point to, and that is James Harden. And it wasn't able to work with Chris Paul, with Melo, with Dwight Howard, with Clint Capella, none of these guys. So if I'm the Rockets and I'm saying I can give Harden to the Nets in exchange for that young core who, along with D'Angelo Russell, were the surprise team of the East a couple of years ago, that young core with LeVert and Dinwiddie and Jarrett Allen, possibly even some picks. If I'm the Rockets, I'm into that. If I'm the Rockets, I'd be like, yeah, all right, I welcome it. I welcome it. I've showed the respect that we should show to James Harden, who has been a staple for this franchise, has been one of the most talented scorers that we've seen in this generation. But thank you. If you want to go play for your friends, we will gladly accept whatever they're offering in order to take you, if they're offering a good enough amount. I think the Rockets here, it seems like, to me, I know it looks like James Harden holds all the leverage, but to me it looks like the Rockets are the ones that could benefit from this, if anyone. In the Nets, maybe, with Kyrie and KD and James Harden, it might give them a chance to win now, but in the future, in 2 years, when James Harden is a free agent and he's 33 years old, you know, I just think if I'm the Rockets, I think I'd be in. I'd want that trade to happen. We will get back to the NBA talk in just a second, but I did want to bring this up because this was something that happened yesterday when the coaches had their press conferences. Going to shift to the NFL a little bit here, and we'll get back to basketball and everything, because also Brian Baldinger was on the morning roast, and I thought he had some interesting comments regarding the 49ers and what they were doing this past Sunday against the Saints. But as we know, the Raiders beat the Chiefs and earlier this year, and they're playing them for a second time after getting the win over the Chargers and then over the Broncos this past week. But here is something that is just being completely overblown by the media, and I want to know from you. 888-957-9570. I want to know if you feel like these coaches actually care about what is being asked, because these are making the headlines, and if you actually listen to the sound and listen to what or how these guys answered the question, there was a question that was asked to Andy Reid in his press conference, which asked, how did you feel about the Raiders taking a victory lap around Arrowhead the last time they won? And the headlines were, Andy Reid miffed by the Raiders taking a victory lap. Absolutely miffed. Miffed was the one word that they used. But here's the sound, and listen to Andy Reid. He doesn't sound miffed at all. Andy Reid has been in the league for so long, he doesn't have time for controversy or just this weird, whatever sort of situation that they're trying to create, this they're trying to heat up the rivalry a little more. I don't know if they're trying to hype up Sunday Night Football, but here's Andy Reid when asked about the victory lap.
That win seemed to mean a lot to the Raiders the last time around a few weeks ago. I mean, they did a victory lap around the stadium in their buses afterwards, if that's any indication. Do you feel like you guys matched their emotions that day? Do you feel like maybe you guys need to do a little better job of that this time around? And Brad, I'll have one quick follow-up.
Well, they won the game, so they can do anything they want to do. They end up winning the game. That's not our style, but we'll get ourselves back, ready to play, and that's where we're at.
He just says, that's not our style, and that was taken as smack talk. Andy Reid goes at Raiders, says, that's not our style. Like, he didn't even mean anything by that. He just said, look, they won the game, and that's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want if they win the game. And, I mean, quite frankly, if they do win at Allegiant Stadium, I don't know if it's – like, I don't think it's actually possible to do a victory lap around the stadium. You can't – there's nothing around the stadium. Right? Am I mistaken on that? I don't think there's a way that you can take a victory lap around the stadium. Maybe there is. But here's John Gruden in his press conference yesterday when he asked to retort to what Andy Reid said.
Tonight, Andy Reid mentioned a couple times the victory lap you guys took in KC after the first game. What exactly was the victory lap? And is that something that you think about this week as far as bulletin board material or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, you could find a smart aleck bus driver in Kansas City who made some snide comments when we got on the bus. Maybe that's why we drove around the stadiums, to tick him off. You know, this is ridiculous. Next question.
it's funny because Gruden in the Monday Night Football booth, that man loves football, right? You could tell that, and he was cheerful, happy-go-lucky, you know, John Gruden. He's the funny kind of football lover who makes it exciting, makes the small things look big. You know, remember Matt Stafford on Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is coming up. You know I'm going to be playing that sound when he's like, I call that the turkey hole, man. When Matthew Stafford fitted it between the corner and the safety, and he was like, I don't know why I call it the turkey hole, but it's called the turkey hole, the turkey hole. He kept on using that. And then Sean McDermott was like, I don't know what you're talking about, John. But him just saying that it's a smart aleck bus driver, it wasn't us. It was this bus driver who was talking smack, and we told him, hey, take a lap around Arrowhead. Take a lap. We'll call it a victory lap. We'll call it a victory lap, man. Like, I don't know. I'm just seeing all of this overblown stuff, and I think Gruden and Reed have way too much respect for each other. They don't have, let's just, you know, use a Bay Area reference. They don't have like a Harbaugh and Carroll type of situation. The Raiders got the Chiefs earlier on in the season, and Andy Reid, coming off of bye weeks, doesn't lose. The Raiders, this is going to be their toughest game of the regular season, no doubt, and it feels like more than just a division game. It feels like more than just an AFC West game because the Chiefs are that good and they are that dominant. It feels like it's a level up from that. It feels like more than just, oh yeah, we're playing the division Chiefs. It's not like going up against the division Broncos. It's not like going up against the Chargers. Going up against this Chiefs, the championship Chiefs, a Chiefs team that is still very formidable in the AFC alongside the Pittsburgh Steelers, it becomes much bigger than that as they're 6-3 on the season, looking to go 7-3. And by the way, you can catch the latest episode of Black Hole Sundays, which is the Raider podcast I do for the station. If you know where to find the podcast for this show, the pregame show, that's where you find Black Hole Sundays. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, but I do enjoy the radio.com app the most. That's one where you should download it. Favorite 95.7 The Game. You'll be able to find the pregame show with Stephen Langford, and you look under the tab, Black Hole Sundays is right there. Had a fun reaction episode yesterday. There was one specific play in that game against the Broncos, specifically a 2nd and 18, and it was a play run by Josh Jacobs that I think was the turning point in that game, other than Drew Lock being a pretty bad quarterback and not seeing that there's a defensive end right there in front of your tight end. But anyway, that'll conclude that talk. Just, I don't know, when I saw that, I was just like, I'm not going to make anything of the victory lap thing that is going to be than what it's made out to be. I don't really see much animosity between those two after hearing them talk about it. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. And the phone number, after seeing these moves made yesterday, I want to know from you as a Warrior fan, which team scares you more right now? Would it be the Suns or would it be the Trailblazers? 888-957-9570. We also got some great sound for Bob Myers to get to coming up next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Triple 8-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in on anything today. If you want to weigh in on Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney owning Wrexham FC. If you don't know who Rob McElhenney is, that is Mac from Always Sunny, and Ryan Reynolds. If you don't know who Ryan Reynolds is of Deadpool fame, Just Friends, I don't know. I'm trying to think of just these obscure Ryan Reynolds movies that probably no one's even heard of. But I do think, though, except Deadpool. Deadpool's not an obscure movie. Deadpool, very popular. But those two own Wrexham FC, which is the third oldest professional team in the world. They're like a fifth-tier soccer team or football team, and Mac and Ryan Reynolds now own it, and they're officially my second favorite football team, second to Chelsea. Shout out to Chelsea. Can't wait for them to come back from the international break. But I have been discussing a little bit of the NBA today and tomorrow. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this draft just as much as any draft in the past 10 years. I mean, with the number two pick, the Warriors, yes, from the 415, wasn't he in Van Wilder? He was Van Wilder, old school. Love it. But the Warriors with the number two pick, it feels like more and more as we hear about these guys, it's odd because anything that you read up on, say, a guy like LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards, you read about a ton of talent. You read about just their skill set offensively, but you don't read too much about their upside in the NBA. And let's just look. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to be keeping that number one pick. I just don't. They have no reason to. If it's not James Wiseman, they don't need to take a center. They wouldn't need to take a guard with Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball. Maybe they would, but I just don't see the fit there when they're still a team that's in rebuild mode, or else you're just going to have another situation, even though he wasn't chosen by this team, but you're going to have another situation kind of like with Andrew Wiggins when he was on that team. Now, I know he wasn't chosen by the Timberwolves. I get that. But still, I think that if they're going to get a guard, there's no point. They can trade down, get assets. And the team that scares me right now in this draft, if I'm a Warrior fan, personally, I want James Wiseman or I want them to trade down. That's just me. Because I'm seeing a ton of Halliburton NBA ready. Obi Toppin, he's got that strength. He's ready. Denny Avija, he's been playing internationally. He's the only guy that's gotten any actual game time in Israel. He's the only guy I've seen any video of during this pandemic when they were in the Orlando when the Orlando bubble was going on. They could trade down and get a couple of guys and also maybe even get a guy with the trade exception. There are other guys also with the taxpayer mid-level, all of this stuff. They can get free agents to help these younger players. But I haven't seen much in terms of upside with Ball nor Edwards. They're incredibly talented players, and I get that, but I haven't seen much in terms of just upside. And that's something that I need to see, at least from an NBA draft prospect. And I really think that Wiseman, even though with the lack of games, we're only saying that because that's the hand that he was dealt. If he was actually playing in March Madness, if he actually played in the season, I think that Warrior fans would be absolutely clamoring for him. He might even be the consensus number one overall pick, not even a question, had he continued to play in the season. And hearing Mark Spears, what he had to say about James Wiseman, just that he's the most impressive player that he's interviewed, that off the court he's kind of reminds him of Steph Curry. He says he could be the mayor of Memphis one day. I mean, these things that I've been hearing about James Wiseman compared to these other players makes me want the Warriors to pick him. But if they want to trade down and, say, get a piece like Tyrese Halliburton out of Iowa State, Denny Avija, Obi Toppin, there are plenty of players to choose from. I wouldn't be mad if they did that either. I really wouldn't. And Bob Myers on NBC Sports Bay Area yesterday, they did a draft special, and here's Bob Myers talking about the pressure of drafting with that number two pick.
But again, you don't often have a pick this high, and we owe it to our players that have won championships for us to really try to help them. I feel like you always owe the fans. They are been so good, and I got to watch the games too. I don't want to screw it up. I want to watch a good product. And so we really do feel pressure, but it's healthy pressure, Monty. It's not like pressure you're afraid of and can't move or you're paralyzed. You really want to feel that pressure.
I think that Bob Myers right now has this is going to be one of his toughest decisions, especially in the spot that he's in, an offseason move that he has to make. But I also think that having Draymond Green, this is a good reason to have Draymond on your team, because that guy watches basketball. He understands basketball. Having a guy with a high basketball IQ on your team, not only does it do wonders for your team in practice and on the court, but he's also a savant. And he's got a family. It's not like he's always going out clubbing every single night. He watches basketball, and he knows who the Warriors should pick. I would expect that, you know, I'd expect Steph would have some input in it as well. Clay, not so much. But but Draymond, I feel like having him on the team is incredibly beneficial because he can help Bob Myers at least look at these players and decide who would be the best fit for them on their specific team that they got going on right now, plus who they could pay for with the trade exception. Let's just update you real quick on everything that happened yesterday. I went over this at the top of the hour, but going to go over this again. So this happened between 10 and 11 yesterday morning. So it's a little out of date, but the Suns, they're making moves. They acquired Chris Paul and Abdul Nader in exchange for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, and Jalen Lecque. Jalen Lecque, a G League player, and I just watched his highlights before the show this morning. Kid's got talent. He's athletic, that's for sure. But I think the Suns, ultimately, with Chris Paul, they got better, and it'll take the pressure off of Devin Booker to be the primary ball handler on that team, having to create his own shot. Ricky Rubio took a little bit of that off, but also having a point guard who can shoot the three and can space the floor. I think that Chris Paul and a point guard who can play good defense, one of the best defending point guards that we've seen, Chris Paul, it's a good move. And compared to OKC, look what Chris Paul did in OKC. And I'm looking at two specific players that he played with, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Steven Adams. Gilgeous-Alexander, a good young guard, got a lot of skill. But Devin Booker is a superstar in this league, and Devin Booker is an upgrade over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Steven Adams, very good center, pretty expensive, but he's a good big man, and he sets the hardest screens in the NBA, and that's just according to multiple players. But Steven Adams, DeAndre Ayton, I'd take DeAndre Ayton and his upside over Steven Adams. And if Chris Paul is paired with those guys, I think that starting five could be pretty damn good next year. Now, they're going to be without Kelly Oubre, who was apparently pretty good for the culture over there with Phoenix. But I think Chris Paul, despite a lot of Warrior fans not liking him, I think Chris Paul could be a good fit over there in Phoenix. So that's a move that I liked. The Blazers, they're making moves. They are trying to finalize a trade, sending Trevor Ariza a 2020 first-round pick and a 2021 protected first-round pick for Robert Covington. So they're not really giving up a ton, and they expect to fall a little later in the draft. So if they trade a couple of those first-round picks and you're in the, you know, the bottom half of the draft, I think that would be worth it, especially for a guy like Robert Covington, who can play the wing and can give you good defense and can also shoot the three. Just an upgrade over Carmelo, who was one of the more fun players to watch in the NBA bubble, if I'm honest, because it seemed like they were creating shots for Melo in the corner just every single play that he was in. And it was a lot of fun watching Melo have some success, but also you saw him miss a few of those shots. The Bucks, they made some moves last night. They acquired Drew Holiday from the Pelicans, and the Pelicans received George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, three first-round picks, and a couple of pick swaps. Now, three first-rounders, a couple of pick swaps, George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, and a couple of pick swaps is as specific as I've seen. But that may seem like a lot to acquire Drew Holiday. But if he's an unrestricted free agent next year and you have the ability to sign him to the Supermax, and you get a guy like Drew Holiday, who is a consummate pro, is one of the best defending guards in the league, much like Chris Paul, if you have a chance to do that and acquire a player to help Giannis and convince him to stay, a guy who could be pretty good for you, I think that would be worth it. But if he doesn't sign the Supermax, then all hope is lost. And you wonder, though, if Giannis goes to another team, becomes an unrestricted free agent and doesn't want to sign the Supermax, one, what are we pointing to? Are we pointing to the Bucks and saying you gave up way too much for Drew Holiday, or would we be pointing to Giannis and saying, hey, look what your team did for you? They gave up three first rounders and a couple of pick swaps along with two veterans in Hill and Bledsoe. And, you know, Bledsoe might put up too many shots. You know, sometimes coming off the bench might be a little too aggressive. Sometimes needs to pass the ball a little more. But we've given up this much for you and you're leaving. But they also did acquire Bogdan Bogdanović from the Sacramento Kings via a sign and trade. Bogdanović was going to be a free agent, so Kings signed him, then traded him away, and the Kings acquired Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Ilyasova. So, I mean, I don't know what the future for the Kings are, but I think that this is a good move for the Pelicans if they want to build around Zion Williamson and give him future draft assets and maybe even use some of those assets to pick up a big-name player. If Zion Williamson is going to be your future, you got time to build around that guy. There's really no rush if you're the Pelicans with Zion Williamson. Now, on the flip side, let's look at the Houston Rockets and what's going on right now, because James Harden had rejected a two-year, $103 million contract extension by the Houston Rockets. Now, he's set to be a free agent two seasons from now, but his focus is toward the Brooklyn Nets and playing with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And my thought is, I mean, we're paying attention to James Harden because, you know, he posted on his Instagram story a picture of a water bottle in a glowed out room, by the way. Where was he? It's not like he was just in a house. Like, where were you with the glowing lights, the neon lights? I wonder. Maybe getting some lemon pepper wings, kind of like Lou Williams. But he unscrewed the cap off a water bottle, then put it on the table, and everyone's trying to dissect it. Does that mean no cap? And no cap, if you're just tuning in, no cap means you're not telling a lie. You're telling the truth. And is that what that means? No cap? That he wants to go to the Nets and those trade rumors are actually real? Or does that mean it's all cap? It's all lies? What does it mean? James Harden, what are you trying to say? But here's where I'm at on this. If I'm the Rockets, I'm thinking, all right, if you want to go to the Nets, great. Give us Caris LeVert. Give us Spencer Dinwiddie. Give us Jared Allen. We could use some of these pieces. We'll try to build the Rockets on our own. You can go ahead and put the pressure on yourself, James Harden, to go to Brooklyn and try to win a championship in 2 years, because when you turn 33 years old, I don't know if they'd be inclined to give you a big contract extension. Go ahead. Make life harder for yourself. Go play with Kyrie and KD. And I personally, I know Kyrie off the court, he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but on the court, I do love watching him play. I really do. And I love watching Kevin Durant play. And I want to see those two on the court together. But, you know, Kyrie's also had some injury issues. Having to stay on the court has been a problem for him in his career. But if I'm the Rockets, I'm saying, all right, go ahead, James. Go ahead. It's fine. We will take whatever the Nets are going to give us as long as the Nets give us a ton of pieces and they agree to it. Steve Nash, sorry. Sorry, Steve. You're left with this team that could be good for a year or two, but you're not going to have much depth after that big three. That's what I'd be saying if I am the Houston Rockets. You know, I also think that if you're going to be in full rebuild mode, there's a reason. And if you saw anything that Russell Westbrook had to, if you saw anything from that report from Sam Amick, Shams Charania, if you saw that report on The Athletic when Russell Westbrook reportedly wanted out of Houston, you noticed there was one common denominator in that entire thing. It was Russell Westbrook not being okay with the accountability of the team. Austin Rivers unhappy with where he was at. And an example they used was when James Harden missed a free throw and he blamed Austin Rivers in the locker room because he heard Austin Rivers yelling. Situations like that. PJ Tucker not okay with his role there and not okay with the money that he's making. Eric Gordon, he doesn't even care if he's a starter or a bench player. He just wants to be told, hey, this is what you have to do. This is your job for our team. He hasn't been given a solidified role. all of these players have an issue over there, and they haven't made it work with Harden. They haven't. And if I'm the Rockets, I'm saying, all right, let's start fresh. Daryl Morey, gone. Mike D'Antoni, gone. Let's just start fresh. That's what I'd be saying if I was the Houston Rockets. 888-957-9570, man. I can't wait for the draft tomorrow. It's going to be a big draft show coming up on 95.7 The Game, and just a big day for the station. I can guarantee you'll want to tune in, especially to the morning roast coming up with Kate Scott, Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonte Hill. Speaking of, I do want to bring up something that was on the morning roast yesterday, and it was Brian Baldinger. You know him, of course, 95.7 NFL Insider, NFL Network, Baldy's Breakdowns, the smartest man in football. You know this guy. And this is something that I think if you're a 49er fan, you haven't been in this situation before where, at least for quite a while, in that your team should probably tank for a draft pick. That's what you're thinking as a fan. Well, here's Brian Baldinger and his response. And because I don't believe football teams tank. I just don't.
First of all any team is trying to do, Bonte, is get a win. I mean, the Giants are 3-7, and they're the best team in the NFC East. And that's not a slight. That team has improved more than any team in football. If you look at the Miami Dolphins, started 0-7 last year, and everybody was tanked for Tua. Well, they got Tua, and they didn't tank. And now they're one of the best teams in football. It always starts with a win, any kind of a win. The Patriots were left for dead after they got whipped by you 3 weeks ago. And they just took down the Ravens yesterday. So what you're looking for is a win and a good feeling coming out to practice on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that is. And then you try to stack them. Yeah. And records don't mean anything right now. Nothing. I don't care how many teams are 6-3 in the NFC. What you're trying to do is get a win to 5-6. Then you're trying to get to 500 and into December. And if you can do that, you go out there and you try to find any way you can, scratch and claw to win a game, block a punt, whatever it takes. And that's the mindset of a player. I know what the fans think, and I know people are putting out mock drafts, and I know all that stuff. But the players just have to have deaf ears, and they just need to find a way to win a game. Maybe you get some healthy guys back. You know, maybe Richard Sherman or whoever it is. I mean, pick a guy. I mean, so many injuries. But
right. You
just try to come back, and you claw your way back into this thing. That's what you do.
And I think that Baldy's absolutely right. And tanking just with players, to me, it just doesn't resonate with the team and saying, hey, go out there and lose so we can get a better draft pick. Players don't think that way. Fans do, but players don't. And if you listen to this show on Thursdays at 5:35, every Thursday I do a segment called Mic'd Up Thursdays, where I take some of the mic'd up players from the NFL week. This time it's going to be from week 10. And let's just use last week as an example, Devin McCourty pumping up the Patriots before they were going to play the Jets.
Tonight we're on Monday Night Football. Everybody watching. My dog Dude texted me tonight. He said, I missed your speeches. Could you tell me my auntie, my uncle, grandma, grandpa, mommy, daddy, little cousin, they all watching tonight. This is what we do it for. To shine tonight. Monday night. Legends are born.
Devin McCourty. Playing against the Jets, it doesn't matter what teams these guys are playing. I don't think that teams really take games off. Maybe the Packers. Maybe the Packers if I had to choose one. But teams just don't tank. They go out and try to win every single ball game. The Jets, they're the same way going out against the Patriots. The Cowboys, look what they did to the Steelers. They put up a fight against the Steelers, and I can guarantee you that the Steelers pump up before that game was just the same. It doesn't matter to these teams. Week by week, every single week, they're going to go out there and they're going to play their best football and do what they can to win a football game, because wins matter. Wins matter for head coaches. Wins matter for the young guys, you know, for the future of your team, for Fred Warner, for Brandon Ayuk, for Debo Samuel whenever he gets onto the field, for, I don't know, Jason Verrett, who maybe even could be a part of the future for this team. Wins matter, and I think that's all you really got to be focusing on this season if you're a 49er fan. Among other things, you know, Trent Williams, Kaywan Williams, these guys next season that you're going to have to possibly pay. Those are guys that I'd be paying attention to, but hearing Baldy say that kind of just solidified that these teams do not tank. Don't believe in it. Don't be fooled by it. All right, coming up next, the morning roast with Kate Scott, Joe the Butcher Boy Jasky, and Bonta Hill. Coming up, thanks so much for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.